coming up on this episode of Inside Pop.
We are talking our favorite music from the year 2017.
Hip-hop, rock, soul, and apocalyptic dance music.
Also, our favorite concerts, our favorite new artists, and more. And it's all happening right now on Inside Pop.
Hey, y'all. I'm Amita Patel.
And I'm Sean David Johnson, and this is Inside Pop. We are your weekly dive inside the world of pop culture, and now we are taking a bigger dive into the year of music. Amita Patel loves music. She knows a lot about music. She has great taste in music. I am going to ride your coattails for this entire episode.
Oh, my gosh.
And I can't wait to hear what you have to say about some of your favorite songs and albums and artists.
Okay. Wow. No pressure there, Mr. Johnson. I haven't listened to a lot of music this year, guys. Just not enough. I've listened to maybe like a handful of songs. I don't know. I think Spotify sends you a list and tells you like how many minutes or how many songs you've listened to. It's like 8,000 to 10,000 or something. Not a lot.
Okay. Oh, sarcasm. I get you now. You were worrying me because I know that you spend a lot of time with your headphones on. And it is interesting, Amita. We've spoken a little bit about this, but you can't kind of help comparing 2017 to 2016. I felt 2016 was a game-changing year, right? Like, we had...
Agreed.
Both Knowles sisters, Frank Ocean, Blood Orange...
Childish Gambino.
Tribe Called Quest. I'm mentioning all my favorites. Childish Gambino.
Yes.
It was an incredible... I think it's going to be a defining year in music and one that we needed. Remember, we called it essential music listening last year? So what do you think? How do you compare 2016 to this year, 2017?
That is a great question. I actually thought about that a lot while putting together a list of my essential albums this year, and I think the difference that I'm noticing is that I felt like a decent amount of the music last year that I enjoyed more skewed towards the female voice. And this year, I'm more skewing towards male voices, which is surprising. But also, it's just I think the men have brought it with some really great, great music this year.
Glad they're doing something right. So should we just dive in? So let's talk. Tell me about some of these men who are doing it for you. And I mean that musically. I'm sorry.
You're so this is terrible. This is everything is being analyzed now. I also would. Well, I'd like to start with just like my favorite album of the year.
Wow.
Lemonade by Beyonce. Just kidding. Yes, 2 years in a row. I still
don't let it go.
Never. No, I'm kidding. All right. All jokes aside, I think everybody has talked about this album. It came out in, I think, the spring, and you can't have a best albums list in 2017 without him. Kendrick Lamar, damn. Like, everybody just devoured this album. Anybody that I know that's a fan, anybody I know that's not a fan knows Humble. It gets the party started. I would say, hyperbole and all, one of the best rappers of this period of time right now. That's it. Hands down.
I agree. One day we'll have to do our top five of all time. That's a separate great segment that we can do.
All time is a tough one. Yes,
yeah, but I agree. Yeah. Kendrick, thank goodness for Kendrick now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he, when he came on the scene and with his last two albums, he's just taking things to the next level with each album. And he did it again with Damn. It was, again, really thought-provoking lyrics, smart, insightful, powerful songs, Element and Loyalty and Damn, of course. Like, they're just every single one of these tracks incites a feeling and an emotion. And that's rare to do in every single track of a song. But I think he does it, and he does it well.
I re-listened to Damn recently. I'd gone a few months without hearing it. One of the thing that I love about Damn is that I happily say that after 10 listens, 12 listens, however many times I've listened to the album, I still don't get all of it. And I feel like every time you listen to Damn or anything by Kendrick, honestly, you understand more. Maybe you have a revelation. Maybe you hear a lyric differently that you didn't really get the first time. Maybe that, like, all that like wall of sound stuff that he's doing with the production makes a little bit more sense. And you can't say that about many albums, but I love that it's just so dense and the meaning's there. And
yeah,
it's a new discovery every time you listen. So I love that about Kendrick, and I'm so happy with your with your pick to put him on your list.
Thank you.
Who else do you have? Who else do you have on your list?
I think my next pick is in that same genre. Jay-Z 444 also was another seminal album of the year. It again showed the side of Jay-Z that we haven't seen in a while. He got real deep, really vulnerable. He recently revealed in an interview that originally him and Beyonce were going to do a joint album, but then they didn't, and she did Lemonade and put that out last year. So I think his depth and vulnerability from 444 may have come out of their kind of collaboration that didn't come to fruition, but I think they both became inspired. They both looked inside themselves and came out with this. He came out with this incredible album this year and really revealed a lot about himself. And it's not that common for him to do that in a full album. He does here and there in some songs on certain albums, but I think in this one, it was just being extremely open. And I'd like to just give some credit to Beyonce for that one. You know, I think he, you know, just like, all right, she did that with Lemonade. I can go deep and do it here. So
I have an unfair question for you.
Oh, geez.
If you didn't know the backstory about what allegedly happened between Jay-Z and Beyonce, would you like his album as much as you do?
Yeah, I think I would. I think, you know, there's songs like The Story of OJ, which, you know, that doesn't have to do with his backstory with Beyonce. That is a different story about being Black in America. You know, I think the song where he talks about his mother, that song was, again, it was another kind of peeling off a layer of himself. So I don't think all of it is about his relationship and what happened. I think some of it is, but like I said, I think he took it to the next level with becoming introspective.
Yeah, it's one of those grown-up albums that we talk about sometimes, right? Like, you can be in your 40s and still make relevant, vibrant pop music or hip-hop music. It's not just for the youth.
The youths. So thank you, Jay-Z, for 444.
I need to revisit that. I liked it, didn't love it, and definitely want to open myself up and give it definitely give it a few more listens, because, of course, I respect your opinion and the opinion of, like, millions of other people who call it great. So, yeah, definitely. Music is like that. I feel like, you know what, right? Like, if I don't like a movie, I'm probably not going to like that movie if I see it again. But music, for me, can be very, very different. I sometimes I'm just not ready. It's not the time. So I'm hoping that I can appreciate Jay-Z's new album the way you are.
All right. I hope you do, too.
Thanks.
I've talked enough about music for the time being. How about you? What albums and artists made your list this year?
Okay, well, I'm going to combine these next two albums, and I'm calling this category the I'll See You in 30 Years category, because there are some artists that I discover and I just know that I'm going to love that album for years and years and years and years and years, right? Like, it's so good. And for me, two albums, Heaven by Jamila Woods and The Dreaming Room by Laura Mvula, which actually came out in 2016, but I just discovered it in 2017, so that's why it's on this list. Both of these female singers, I think, produced really classic, long-lasting music. Beautiful songwriting, gorgeous voices. They're very different as well. Why don't I just kind of talk about one at a time? Jamila Woods, thank you to our friends JogeCast. Great, great podcast about pop culture. And they participated in our Big Sell 30, and they big sold a lot, one thing every day for 30 days. And I listened to Jamila Woods, which they big sold to me. Never heard of her before. I mean, how are these British people big selling me American music? How is this happening?
No, we've it's two-way street. I think I might have sold them Rationale, so it's okay. It happens.
It's the global culture, people. So, mm-hmm. Jamila Woods, thank you, JogeCast. From the moment I listened to the single that they big sold, I was like, I need to listen to this whole album. So it's soulful, it's woke, it's introspective, but also political. Such a good album. It's called Heaven. This is like turning into another big sell, but she's maybe, I think, the least known artist on my list. So I'm just excited mm-hmm. to get the word out. And then Laura Mavula, who's been around for a number of years, I think she kind of became famous initially for doing a couple of famous covers. But she has an album of original songs, The Dreaming Room, which is just so melodic, and it feels very old school in some ways, but then also forward in others. And I love her. Did I ever big sell you, Laura Mavula?
Yes, I think you okay. did. Okay. I think that song, she did a cover of Ready or Not.
Yes, yes. I think you told me that. Okay.
Sir. Right.
Great. Yeah. So I just love these two female singers. And there are a lot of female singers on my list. Not all of them, but I'm still connecting. I'm still in a phase where you've got to be pretty damn good if you're a male singer to really make me love your music. And I think we know one of them who's coming up later in the list.
If you've listened to this podcast, you know who's going to make this list. All right. Well, yeah. That's a good segue to another male singer that I actually ended up putting on our list this year. I decided to call this an impressive first album from an artist, and it is Khalid's American Teen. Khalid, you may all know, he had this viral hit that everybody heard all year called Location. Really great kind of like low chill vibe song that I loved, and I liked his voice. I just thought it had a different tone to it. I don't know how to describe it, but I really liked it. And I've listened to a couple other singles of his and song, and I listened to his whole album, and I thought I think he has really great talent and really great potential. And I think this was a really good like full album showcasing his style and his intention. You know, did a song called Young, Dumb, and Broke that was really good and catchy, and then another song called Therapy, which I really liked. So I think it's a good album. Again, like your Jamila Woods, maybe I'm big selling this as well, because I think he's an artist to watch. This first album was really good start, and I'd be interesting to see what he comes out with in the future. So great job, Khalid.
I'm going to take that as a big sell, because I don't think I've heard anything by him, but I'm really interested. And now that you've informed me that it's not DJ Khaled, I'm even more interested.
It's not DJ Khaled.
Keep up with all
it's
these
not
names.
DJ Khaled.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that.
Khalid.
Sometimes
Khalid.
I do feel old. Okay. No, thank you. I'm going to check that out. At zero idea that he existed before I saw you put his name in our Google Doc. So
you're hilarious. No, you
I'm
know Location.
To check him out.
You know the song Location.
Oh, I do?
You have heard it. Yes.
Okay.
Send me your location. And no? No?
I don't okay. think so. No, probably too busy listening to all the other stuff on my list. But yeah, I haven't heard that. And I never listen to the radio. So, but yeah, thank you for that. Definitely want to check it out. Well, Amita, we are sharing this next pick. This
yes.
The next album on our list, I like to think of it, I like to call it the We're Going to Party Like It's 1999 album of 2017.
And I would like to call it the Innovative Sonic Dream of 2017.
Ooh, two different interpretations of the same album. We yes. are talking about, you may have guessed, Humans by Gorillaz. Humans was a long anticipated album by such a great band, a band that I learned to appreciate when I interviewed Joe Cast again on my other podcast, The Perfect Podcast, about what they thought would be a perfect pop group. And they so eloquently talked about why Gorillaz, which is an animated band with multiple musicians under the stewardship of Al Barn and Jimmy Hewlett. I always loved them and loved them even more. And was so excited to, and relieved actually, that I loved Humans as much as I did. It is like this amazing mixtape. So many different genres, so many different amazing artists doing great things, doing things differently than they usually do. So if you're giving me an album with De La Soul and Grace Jones and artists I've never heard of before who I start liking, and you're giving me hip hop and rock and soul and country, it's amazing. So Humans is the album that I can put on, and I don't have to make a mixtape because it is a mixtape that's been made for me.
Yeah, great way of putting it. Yes, it is totally like a mixtape. You know, I think some of the highlights for me on this album were Let Me Out with Mavis Staples and Pusha T and Ascension, which was, I believe, their first single from the album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that was like such a strong first single, and was so just, it just puts me in such a great mood. I really, really enjoy that song.
Another great single from that album is Andromeda. I think you remember that amazing Song Exploder podcast episode in which Alvin spoke about how the song was about people he lost, including Bobby Womack, who did some amazing music with Gorillaz in the past. So, you know, again, it's he talks a lot about how the song was meant to sound like a song being played at the end of the world. And you were too on spot with that. So thank you for Gorillaz for that incredible album.
Yeah, like you said, what an incredible compilation of new and established artists coming together on this album with the Gorillaz. Really, really well done. And I thank them for coming back after so many years. I miss them. So that's a great way to end this part of our list. And we will have more after this very short message.
Hey, Helen Hong.
Yes, J. Keith Van Stratton?
What's the difference between a layover and a stopover?
I have no idea. What's the difference between optimal and optimum?
I have no idea. What's the difference between an actual conversation and a promo for our new show on Maximum Fun, Go Fact Yourself?
Nobody has any idea.
Go Fact Yourself, the game show with celebrity contestants, super smart experts, and answers to questions you've never even asked.
Listen twice a month on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And be in the audience for our tapings of Go Fact Yourself in downtown L.A. It's free. Go to GoFactYourPod.com for more info.
We're having a very realistic conversation.
Yes, we are.
Welcome back to Inside Pop. We are talking about our favorite music of 2017. Amita Patel is up next with one of her favorite albums of the year.
Yes. As we mentioned before, y'all know there's going to be one man on this list. We have discussed him at length many times. We have now seen him live a couple of times. And the truth is out there, guys. Miguel is the best. And his Warren Leisure album made our list, of course. He can do no wrong. And he proved it again with this album. I will stand by him with everything he does. I love him, and I have nothing else to say.
Deep probing commentary.
It's a great album.
Yeah, and you know what I'll say? And listen, it's still fresh. It's only been out for a week. I will say that I thought Wild Heart, as we know, we've listened to this podcast, I thought Wild Heart was a bit of a masterpiece, right? I thought every song was near perfect. It was so, so experimental in some ways, and it felt like an album that didn't care about how many units it sold. It just seemed like an artistic expression. I will say, and tell me what you think, Warren Leisure, and this actually is not a critique, but Warren Leisure definitely sounds like it's intended to appeal to people. So yeah, I won't say intended to sell because that sounds crass, but I think it's definitely an album intended to appeal to the mainstream. It's R&B, which he does so well. Yeah. You know, there are a couple of different songs, but it feels more mainstream than Wild Heart, which
yes,
it's just different. So I think Wild Heart to me is like a classic. Put it on a pedestal. I'm still getting used to Warren Leisure, but I don't think it's as adventurous as Wild Heart. What do you think?
I see what you're saying. I think that if you're thinking about it as being more mainstream, and when you think about an album being more mainstream, it's like, okay, there's a lot more songs on here that feel like singles that can be released and play on radio and, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, I do think in that case, you get more on Warren Leisure than you may have on Wild Heart. So I get where you're coming from on that. But I just think that he also is evolving as an artist. He is sonically bringing some more things to his music, and I feel that more on Warren Leisure. You know, I think his first two albums were definitely true R&B, and Wild Heart, like you said, was this interesting kind of R&B, but it got deeper, and I love how he is exploring some little bit more pop. He has a song where he sings in Spanish, and I love that song on Warren Leisure, Caramelo Duro, and like I think that he's exploring, and he's kind of going a little bit out of his comfort zone, but I think he's doing it really well.
Agreed. I totally agree. And I'm going to contradict myself. I'm allowing myself to do that. My favorite, for me, my standout track on the album is maybe the most commercial, but he does it so well. Pineapple Skies. I tweeted the other day that
yes.
Pineapple Skies is my new, I'm going to attack the day joyfully and accomplish everything I set out to do hype song. Because it's just this positive burst of affirmation energy. And I want to read up on this, but I feel like it might be some kind of shout out to Prince, because Pineapple Skies to me sounds like a Prince line, right? Like
yes.
Starfish and coffee, pineapple
yeah.
skies, maple syrup and jam. And you know, if someone's giving Prince a shout out, they are A-OK in my book.
Yes. Yeah, no, I feel that. And you know, to jump off of that, I feel like Told You So has this element, very kind of homage maybe he's paying to Michael Jackson. I feel that with that song a little bit. And then if you watch his video for that, he does really great little, you know, he dances in that video a little bit, and I think he's great and it's awesome and it feels like him. So I think maybe he was giving like a nod to Michael in that song, and that one is one of my favorites from the album as well. It's also a good song that can be a single, that can be catchy, as well as Pineapple Skies and obviously Skywalker, which already came out, and you know, Come Through and Chill also. Like there's enough that you can kind of remember and say just from, and yes, we're fans, but they're still so much more memorable because they are a little bit more mainstream, more single like. And that's good. I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, mainstream yeah. is not bad. Popular is not necessarily bad. Pleasing the masses is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, and it's like, listen, you know, he's an artist. He's a singer. He's a creator. You know, I think at the core of anybody who does those things is to get people to share their music with people. And that is what he's trying to do. So if he is doing things that is maybe a little bit more palatable to the masses, that means more people will listen to him, more people will learn about him, more people will dig deeper into the archives of Miguel and find out more about him and listen to older albums. And what that really means is that his ticket sales are going to go up, and it's going to get more harder to go see him when we go see him next year. But it's still great. You know, it means that he's being able to share his talent with more people. And that's amazing.
Yeah, there's an interesting moment that I'll tell quickly, but we were thrilled to go to the secret show that Miguel had a couple of weeks ago in
yes.
Brooklyn, and there was a moment that I thought was really interesting. There was a moment, you know, he'd played a few songs, and then this was a few days before the album came out, and he shouts out into the crowd, how many of y'all have pre-ordered my album? And there was an honest smattering of applause, because we live in a world where I don't think anyone pre-orders albums. You just wait for it to come out on Spotify or
yeah.
whatever. But But like, to me, I was watching him like a hawk for the whole thing. But I was watching him, and he kind of jokingly said, "Oh, thanks for your honest answer." But I was really watching him, and I think even though he's got this major swag and he knows that 98% of the audience wants to join him backstage after the show, and he owns that, but I saw a little crack in that swag where he is an artist who wants to please people and he wants people to like him. He wants people to hear his music. So it was interesting for me to like see that little like, oh shit, wait, is everything okay? Are people enjoying this? Are they looking forward to my album? So it was interesting to see those two sides of him, the big entertainer, but the probably introspective, sensitive, worried artist who just or is just about to release something he's been working on for years to the world.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. And I think I noticed that too. I didn't notice what you noticed about his hesitation, but I did notice him asking everybody, did you pre-order my album? And I was like, what?
What does pre-order mean?
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna get on Spotify though.
Anyway, Miguel, during these trying times, if you need any comforting, something tells me you've got a few people out there who will be willing to comfort you in any way necessary.
And they're on this podcast. And we'll see you in March in New York. We will be there.
I'm not going to continue this. Okay.
We could continue this for the rest of the podcast, and you all know it. So we're just going to move on. What is another album that made your list this year?
I call this album Clear-Eyed Soulful Optimism. It is a recently released album by Mavis Staples, If All I Was Black. It's her brand new album produced by Jeff Tweedy from Wilco. And I believe this is the third time they've worked together. And it's phenomenal. It is Mavis Staples singing as good as she's ever sung. It's Jeff Tweedy writing amazing lyrics and producing amazing music. And it's music that touches on the difficulty of living in the world today. And the thing that is beautiful about the album to me, Amita, is that she's lived a life. She has lived through the civil rights movement. She has lived through all types of inequality and hard times, but she maintains her optimism. And I think if anyone has a right to sing about the tough things we're going on within the world and then to kind of turn around and say, but we can make it through, we can deal with it, we can deal with this hate, it's Mavis Staples. So it is, first and foremost, just amazing music and an amazing singer. But then the lyrics just give you this message of hope, which is needed these days. So listen to If All I Was Black and feel better. I promise.
Yeah. You would let me know that her album is coming out, and I listened to it as soon as it was released, and you had also big sold this song to me as well. So I really enjoyed it, and you were so right. It is a comfort to listen to this album.
Yeah. Yeah, so many standout tracks. Just listen to the whole thing. Start to finish, no shuffling. I guarantee. Well, hey, Amita, should we continue the soul train? Is there another soul artist you'd like to talk about?
Yes. Good segues, always. The soul artist, I had also came from a big cell. There's a theme here. Earl St. Clair, if you listened to the podcast earlier this year, I had come across him. I think he showed up maybe in my Discover Weekly or something where I think I was listening to a lot of Charles Bradley, and he was, I feel like, the second coming of Charles Bradley, frankly. Earl St. Clair is a young soul artist who does not sound young at all, and I really enjoyed his debut album. I don't know what it is, Feeling Alive and Three Story Home were two of the songs that I just really gravitated towards on this album, and I really was happy to discover his voice. And again, see where he ends up and blossoms to, because he's still, I think, pretty new on the scene.
I would love to see him live.
Yes, we should find out when he's coming around. If he is, that would be awesome to see him live. I think that he would be an incredible performer. So,
yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, another big sell and another one I was appreciative of. So, yeah, great choice, Earl St. Clair. Thank you for putting him on this list, because I loved him at the time. And then, you know, there's so much music to consume and to enjoy and to check out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Earl St. Clair. I want to listen to him some more. I like him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I, again, will have to thank Spotify for that, because they actually, at the end of the year, will give you your top songs. And one of his songs ended up on my top songs of 2017. And I was like, that's right. I remember finding out about Earl St. Clair earlier this year. Thank you, Spotify, for putting together this list and reminding me.
Okay, well, we are sharing an album next. We both love Process by Sampha. I call it Aided Introspection.
Yeah, another big sell. Again, you had sold this entire album to me, but you had sold it to yourself because you hadn't listened to it. And
right.
Sampha, we had loved so much from Don't Touch My Hair on Solange's mm-hmm, album. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to call this A Necessary Calm. I thought this album just brings this incredible warmth and calmness to me. I love it. I love everything about it. I had a moment where I needed just to be still and to kind of, frankly, calm down. I was in a lot of pain at one point, physical pain. And I was just like, I need to just like not focus on it. And I listened to Sampha. I did.
That's amazing.
Like, yeah, yeah. So I could give him credit for that, for sure.
Yeah, I was about to ask you what your standout track is, and I was trying to think of mine. I really just think of it as one 45-minute song. I mean, there are a lot of great individual songs, but it really is just this mood, this place where you can go for about 45 minutes. Yeah, it's to me, it's an album.
Yeah.
It's not a collection of songs.
Yes, yes, yeah. Like, we had kind of discussed that here and there with some of the previous albums on the list. Some of them are a collection of songs, and that's okay. And
yep.
Some of them are like a full album. And I think Process is a full album. No One Knows Me Like the Piano is a standout track. If you don't know Sampha and you don't know anything about him and want to just listen to something that will move you from him, I think that song will do that.
And we'll get into we'll talk about concerts a little bit later towards the end of this special episode. But seeing him live was amazing and surprising for me, because sometimes you think, ooh, mellow music equals mellow show. But seeing him at Afropunk, outdoors, daytime, the crowd was so energized. He was so great. So he's also a great live performer. So just all around great music, helping to make music great again. Thank you, Sampha. Well, Amita, we have another shared album or two coming up. I'd like to group these two albums together, these next two albums, and call the category Millennials. They're just like us. And I am talking about SZA's Control and Lorde's Melodrama. And I love both of these albums. I don't know if they ever gave a thought to a 40-something podcaster liking or caring. They may not care at all, but incredible albums. I'm sure these two albums are on every single top 10 list. So I guess, like, one of the things I just like to say about it is that for both of these albums, I feel like it is, to me, a really interesting insight into what it's like to be a 20-something woman. And these are two very, very different women, but I think it's like the music and the lyrics and just the whole storytelling in both of these albums are so specific to their experiences that I do feel like, maybe in the way that Insecure and Atlanta give me a view into the minds of millennials, in a positive way. I think SZA and Laura do that for me as well.
I like that analogy. I also have them on my list. And I like how you feel like they give you an insight into the mind of a millennial. I felt very, very much that these albums spoke to a female perspective that I really enjoyed. And they are the few females that are on my list this year. SZA, it did make me feel, as a 30-something, made me feel like I was hip with the kids and I knew somebody that everybody was talking about. That was the first feeling I got from this album. But then I also just fell in love with her voice, fell in love with her style. And I really, really enjoy songs like Love Galore and Drew Barrymore. There's a song called Drew Barrymore, of course. Like, it's great. And then Lorde, I think both of us got turned on to Lorde's new album because of James Barker, our good friend, and DJ Chaotic. So he gave us this as one of his picks. And I really enjoyed Lorde's first album. So, sophomore album, you could also potentially fall short on. But she really evolved her sound and her, I think, her lyrics with this second album, Melodrama. So thanks, Lorde. A pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I don't think I ever even listened to her first album, but thank you, DJ Chaotic, for recommending Melodrama, because it is phenomenal. Maybe the best album of the year. Go ahead and argue that. But it's really just great. Every single song, the lyrics are so good. The way she delivers the lyrics, you could just tell there's been so much thought that went into the production and the writing of this music, and it just works. Yeah, no sophomore slump.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's so great. There's a song that you want to be like, why are they like holding up Lorde's album so much? I think we talked about Supercut with James, but the song Liability, I think, is a great cut from this album that I think it really defines a lot about her. I really love that song, and I think that if you want to listen to something that maybe people are kind of cluing into as just putting this on their best of lists, I think Liability is one of those songs.
Ooh, are you ready for like a big ridiculous statement? It just popped into my head. Liability is to Lorde as Man in the Mirror is to Michael Jackson. Like, I feel like it's her big ballad, emotional, vulnerable, put up that lighter at a show. Yeah.
Right. But it's like one of those songs that like you think you're hearing some things like Green Lights, you know, upbeat dance, you know, and Supercut is also kind of like mid-tempo upbeat. So you're just like, okay, there's lots of dancey type of things happening here. And then you listen to Liability. Oof.
Rock yourself back and forth, because you need to be in a fetal position when you listen to this song.
Yeah. Well, we're coming to the end of our favorite albums of 2017. I can't wait to hear what your last pick is, Mr. Sean David Johnson.
Thank you for that respect. I also have an album that is proving that there is no sophomore slump with this singer. I'm talking about Valerie June and her album Order of Time. Valerie June was kind of the it girl a few years ago. Bluegrass voice. She has the voice of a... We spoke about her a few years ago. She has the voice of kind of an old soul voice. She sounds... I mean, she is from Tennessee, but she sounds like an old... And I say this super positive. Crone living in a shack in a swamp. That's what her voice sounds like. That's how beautiful her voice is. She looks like she should be on the cover of Vogue, with just a mane of beautiful, gorgeous dreadlocks. And then I saw her in concert. I went with a friend of ours, friend of the show, Christine, and we saw her in concert. And then she had a completely different persona on stage. I turned to Christine at halfway through the concert, and I said, in all seriousness, I get like this at shows. Amina knows this. I just make big hyperbolic statements.
Yes.
I am actually in love with her. I said this to Christine about Valerie June. I am in love with Valerie June. And Christine looked at me in her Christine way, and she did not feel the same way. she had not fallen in love with Valerie June. But very, like, super duper quirky and weird and ethereal. Like, you want her to never be unsupervised. Like, that's the way she seemed on stage. But I'll take it back to the album. The writing on this album is just pure, great songwriting. Great lyrics, amazing music. It's bluegrass, it's country, it's soulful. It's just this great synthesis of, I think, all the things she is. And I love the first album, and I think this new album is a little different, a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more musical in terms of more instruments, the attempt at different genres. But I guess, you know, her voice is an acquired taste because it's very distinctive. And listen, some people don't love country or bluegrass, and that's fine. But for me, it's just, thank goodness the second album was great. And I want to see her again in concert. And I just, like, she's another one of I'll see you in 30 years, because I just hope she continues to make music and I hope she continues to grow. And I'll be there right with her.
I remember you big selling something from Valerie June to me as well. I liked her, but I don't think I loved her as much as you did. So I'm glad that you are still enjoying her, and she's proving herself in a live setting as well. And I hope you two are happy.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, because at this point, as we know, I guess I believe in polyamory because I'm already married. But there are other people in the pop stratosphere who I also plan to wed. So, yeah, I'm just going to invite you all to the wedding. I guess it'll happen in Utah, right? Is that legal there?
Maybe.
To be married to more than one
person?
Yeah,
probably Utah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. All you right, know I'll what get... it sounds like. It sounds like there's a bracket brewing for Sean David Johnson.
Yes. Ooh, the women Sean Johnson wants to marry. I like it. Okay. Okay.
Men could be in there, too. I'm just saying polyamory, right?
Wow. It's 2017. Okay. Amita, guess what? We're not done. We've talked about all the albums that we loved in 2017. And we hope that you guys agreed with everything that we said. But listen, when we come back after this short message, we're going to talk about, and hopefully have some great suggestions for you, things that you may have missed. We're going to talk about concerts. We're going to talk about individual songs and just kind of our feelings about 2017 in general. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very short message.
Should The Rock run for president? How about Oprah?
Why was Pitch canceled?
Does Ryan Murphy ever sleep?
Settle a bet for me. Who's hotter, The Thing or Squirrel Girl?
How can I take part in the summer book club?
For answers to these questions and so much more, come on over to Pop Rocket, a pop culture roundtable show with me, Guy Branum,
Winter Mitchell,
Margaret Wappler,
and Karen Tongson.
Catch us every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you decide to get your podcasts. I'm not going to judge.
Welcome back to Inside Pop. I'm Amita Patel.
And I'm Sean David Johnson, and we are talking about the best, our favorite music of the year 2017. And now Amita and I are going to share some concert experiences with you. I would like to start by saying that I am so happy that some of my favorite concert experiences occurred with this one, and I'm pointing at Amita right now, by my side.
Yes, we had a lot of great concerts, shared experience. We just spoke about seeing Miguel at that secret show just a couple weeks ago. But we also saw Miguel earlier this summer as well. You know, we got to see The Revolution. That was a honor and a privilege to see them. And we went to Afropunk together. We saw Janet Jackson together. So much great live music this year that we got to experience. And yes, I completely agree. It was awesome to see it with you and then gush about it after.
And I'm going to try to stop hitting you so much when we go to shows.
Oh my God. My arm is slightly better now from Janet a month ago.
I get excited. It's love taps. It's like I can only communicate non-verbally because because I'm so excited. So then I have to just, I lash out. But I'll calm that down. But Amita, not every concert you loved had me hitting you. I know that there's one show that you want to talk about that where I was not there. So what's up?
Oh, I got to see Rationale, who, if you may not have heard, I found him last year and Big Sold a couple of singles of his last year in the Big Sell 30. And then he put out his first album this year, which was also sold in the Big Sell 30 because I am such a huge fan of his voice and his style. And he tweeted out that he was going to do a concert in New York. And it was only the second time that he ever played live in New York, in a really small venue called Mercury Lounge here downtown on the Lower East Side. It was a pleasure to see him. And I even got to talk to him afterwards because, again, I really like the idea of somebody who's kind of up and coming, not really like made it in the U.S. And you can see him at a small venue and really get a sense of his fans and get a sense of his performance style. And it was such a treat. It was such a treat.
I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad you got to check him out and communicate with him in person. I love that for you. Yeah, that's great. That's great. And if he comes back again, let me tag along and I will behave myself. Yeah.
I will. Yeah, if I hear he's coming back to New York again, I would definitely let you know. You also got to see one of your musical idols, I would call, live this year.
Yeah. Well, it was a house of hyperbole mentioned, so I won't go all the way into it again. But I got to see Nile Rodgers perform a one-man show, and it was really special to me. Words actually cannot convey. Think about one of your favorite musicians, and then think about him standing up on a stage and sharing decades of great music. And then you realize, you are responsible for my musical taste, right? The fact that you produced disco, then you started producing Madonna and Duran Duran, which honestly, I'll say this, because I don't think I said this the last time. When I was younger, I did have this thing early on where it's like, oh, black people listen to black music and white people listen to white music. That's how it is. I did not grow up in the 50s, I swear to you. But ask most kids growing up in the 80s, and initially that was kind of the feeling. And if you went outside of that, then you were doing something different and weird and possibly not right. But I started getting over that when Prince, right, started doing rock. But when Nile Rodgers was like, yeah, I'm a black musician and I've made great black music with Chic and Diana Ross, but guess what? Now I'm going to produce this white band, Duran Duran, that you, Sean Johnson, in your bedroom really love. So he did a lot for my musical taste, and yeah, I just love him so much. That was an extraordinary experience for me. And then also, as Amita knows, Nile Rodgers tweeted at me earlier this week. And again, I was just like, thank you for acknowledging my existence. I just love him so much. Thank you, Nile
Rodgers.
That
was really sweet of him to respond to your tweet and lots of other tweets wishing him good health. And so, but I was so excited for you to see him live. And I'm glad that you got that experience, because I think I really do think it's once in a lifetime to be able to have that. So
yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So what else, what else music wise have you loved and enjoyed this year, Amita?
Well, an album that didn't make the list, but I'm just going to say it's on the list. It just didn't come out yet. Nerd is coming out. Just the timing of our best ofs just didn't work out for Nerd, but it's going to be on my list. I'm just letting you know now. It's coming out this Friday, and so I was not able to include it. But obviously, we loved Lemon. I love Pharrell Williams and everything he does, so I'm excited just to hear the rest of the album, but it'll be on the list. And some other artists and other singles that I think just piqued my musical, senses. The Suffers, which was another big sell earlier this year. It was really great. Big band with soul and funk and jazz that I loved. Great single that a lot of people have heard and talked about called Nobody Speak by DJ Shadow and Run the Jewels. Really enjoyed that one. Another suggestion from our friend James Barker, Queen Herbie, really exciting talent and style from her. And Georgia Smith, who I really, really loved as well, and also big sold.
And I appreciated that big sell a lot because I love Georgia Smith as well. Thank you.
What about you?
Well, you mentioned Nerd, and the thing I want to talk about, so my favorite album that did not come out in 2017 and will not come out in 2017 is the new album by Andre 3000, because it doesn't exist. So I just want to, yeah, so
it
I just want to say, but he, any time Andre 3000 pops up on as a guest, as a cameo, it elevates the situation. And he did that a lot in 2016, but I think he is going to be on the new NERD, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think they announced that in the track list.
Yeah. And I was like, great, Andre, another guest spot. You're going to give me 2 minutes of joy and then you're going to go away again. So, yeah. So I would like to say that the new Andre 3000 is one of my favorite albums, but it doesn't exist. I think he's over it. I think he's over making albums and dealing with shady music labels. I think that might be the case. But in terms of real things, I loved the new Benjamin Clementine album. So weird. So challenging. You know what's funny? I don't like it every time I listen to it, but the single Jupiter and sometimes I'm just like, oh, too weird. Can you just give me some more melody? And then other times I'm like, ooh, thanks for making this so weird and challenging. I really have to. Right, like sometimes you can listen to music and not use an ounce of IQ, and then sometimes you have to listen and like Kendrick Lamar, you have to turn your brain on, right, to really appreciate it. I feel the same way about Benjamin Clementine. And then sometimes you just don't want to work your brain so hard. And those are the times when I don't like it as much. But yeah, but I do really like Benjamin Clementine, especially the easy to love song Jupiter.
Oh, Jupiter was such a great big sell from Big Sell 30. So thank you for that. That was such a good song. So I'm glad that you discovered him and shared him with all of us, because I think he's a talent that, as much as you don't like to listen to him all the time, there's some potential. Yes?
Yes. Oh, definitely.
He's got potential.
Everything I said I meant as a compliment, which okay. is a super, super shady thing to say, but I did mean all of that as a compliment. Wow, what a year. Again, thank you to all of these artists who put themselves out there and create the art and put it out there, and they have to deal with people reviewing and podcasters talking and maybe not liking. But for all of that, I think we got some great stuff this year. We got some really great music.
We did. And I'm looking forward to some really essential music for 2018. Hopefully get some new artists, but also some old artists who come with new sound. So waiting and hoping. And y'all know my earbuds will be in constantly in 2018.
Oh, so if there's one artist, your wish list, you've got the power. Who's the one artist that you would love new music from in 2018?
Sean, you put me on the spot.
I love asking you questions because you always give good answers. What's the one musician you want new music from in 2018?
I just have to think of who I haven't heard from in a while. off the top of my head, I would have to say our favorite, Janelle Monáe. It's time. Come back.
Oh,
we love you.
Why did you say
and
that?
I want new music.
Why did you say that? Now, like, my palms are literally sweating. I love Janelle Monáe.
You have to put
so
it in the universe so
much.
It can come to you.
I'm also going to marry her.
Oops. Add it to the bracket, guys. You heard it here first.
Oh, my gosh. Number one wife. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So putting it out in the universe,
oh,
Janelle,
yes.
Please
Amen.
Bless us
Amen.
With your talent next year. I think it's time. It's been a minute.
Well, I follow her on Instagram, and she did post a picture of herself in a studio. I'm taking
that
as, guess what? I'm in the studio, so my palms are literally sweating. I wish there was a way to convey that to every single one of you listeners, but it's I'm just saying, oh, new Janelle Monáe album makes me excited.
Me too.
Good answer.
You know, get some yeah, get some Roman Jean Arthur on there as a guest and Saint Beauty. Maybe pair up with Miguel again. Just
yes,
saying.
everything. Jidenna, of course.
Everything.
Yep.
Erykah Badu, do it all.
Oh,
do it all.
Solange, get her back in there. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Just went into a whole tangent about how much we love Janelle Monáe. Clearly, maybe we should do a way into Janelle Monáe just so everybody knows how much we love her.
Amen.
But we've got to wrap this up. That is it for our best music of 2017. Thank you so much for listening to us wax poetic about all of the music that gave us life this year. If you want to let us know what music you enjoyed in 2017, let us know. Stay in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram at Pop Insiders. And also head over to Inside Pop Podcast to find old episodes, find out what we picked last year in 2016, and obviously subscribe to this podcast.
Next week, our final episode of the year. Why am I being so dramatic? Because
dun, dun, dun.
We are talking about the best movies of 2017. We are slightly flipping the script this year, and we are going to talk about the best performances of 2017. People who are able to emote without speaking the way I'm speaking now, because they're much better actors.
People who may have emoted without even speaking. Hint.
Oh, a hint. I love that. So anyway, it's going to be a fabulous episode. Amit and I spend a lot of time in the dark in a movie theater during the year watching tons of film. And we are psyched and hyped to talk about our favorites. That is happening next week. Subscribe and make sure to catch it. You can subscribe on iTunes. While you're there, you know what helps us a lot? Ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the podcast. It also makes us feel kind of good. So, listen, we know that you guys have busy lives. Take 20 seconds, loop on over to our iTunes page, Inside Pop, easy to find. And just, yeah, like, you know, like, touch the number of stars you'd like to give us. Hey, write a few words. It's all good. We appreciate you.
We appreciate you so much. And if you do leave us some kind words, we will read them here on the podcast. That's some incentive for you. We will say your screen name and your glowing review right here. So that's it for us. Have a great week, y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.